Thank you so much. It is such a privilege and an honor to be here this evening and to get to share a little bit of what the Lord has done in my life. When Mary Louise first asked me to share, she sent a list of questions and to help me kind of think through the talk tonight. And one of the first questions was, why are you excited about sharing your story? And there was two reasons that really came to mind. And the first was that I am so excited to share about the Lord's work because he has been so good and gracious in my life. And he has been working and teaching me, and I love to be able to share with others about what he has done. And the second reason I'm honestly excited to share with you all this evening is that who I get to share this story with, my church family. You know, I have been a part of this church for almost 20 years and serving in children's ministry. And this is more than just a place that I work or even a place that I come and worship on Sunday mornings. This is a family that I get to walk life with and serve alongside. When I look out, I see many of you that have served as Sunday school teachers, as VBS volunteers, as nursery workers, and many other things in the children's ministry. And you have been my partners in ministry and have walked beside me for years and have supported me here in this ministry. But you've also supported me in my own personal life, in with my family. And as you've stood beside me and my husband, Chris, as we've been through the highs and lows of life, you have come alongside when we've faced heavy losses through the years. And you have loved and supported my two boys. Caleb is my oldest. He is 19. And Micah is 15. And he's my youngest. And we invited Caleb to be a part of our family through a complicated family adoption when he was 10 years old. And that was challenging. But this church family, you all welcomed him and you loved him. And that meant so much as you prayed and supported our family as we adjusted to be a family of four. And you also most recently supported us with my son, Micah. Just recently, in the last year and a half, Micah was diagnosed with kidney cancer, very unexpectedly at the age of 14. And it was surprising, and it was shocking. And this church family just faced that with us. You wrapped your loving arms around us and showed Christ's love in that situation. And it was such a blessing in our life. Just to kind of, I know, give a little update on Micah, because I often get asked how he's doing. And Micah, when we first were told that he had kidney cancer and the biopsy came back, the doctor said that he had a very rare type of kidney cancer and that it was something rare that you'd find in a child his age. And that they kind of gave us a very bleak diagnosis. They said that because of the type of cancer that he had, they were pretty sure that it had a genetic component to it, which meant that they thought that it was genetic and that those tumors would keep coming back the rest of his life. And that was so hard to hear. And over months of testing and waiting for those results, the doctors came back and said, you know what? There is no genetic component to this cancer. We have no idea why this has happened. And what's exciting is we have no reason, since we don't know why it happened, that it should come back. And so last May, we celebrated a year and a half of Micah being cancer-free. And that has been such a great thing. Thank you. You know, I really believe that the Lord heard the prayers of his people, and I thank you all for your prayers and how you supported and prayed for our family during that time. And Micah would come up to me and tell me that these people that would come at church would come up to him and walk up and say, I'm praying for you, and that meant so much to him. You know, I could share so much about the things the Lord has taught me through the trials, through the ups and downs of life. And he's taught me about faith and dependence on him. But tonight I want to focus my story on maybe a part of my story that isn't as well known. And that is how the Lord called me to children's ministry and brought me here to First Pres. It feels like I've always been here, you know, but I haven't. I grew up in Lexington, so not far away from here, but I had never heard of First Pres. And I grew up with two older brothers, and I was very much a tom girl, trying to keep up with my older brothers. And my parents, to this day, will say, you know, Hannah, you are one of the most unlikely people to be called to children's ministry. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, my dad, we would go and look at the VBS decorations, and he would say, Hannah, you are the most uncreative, unartistic person, a child. Art class was not, I was not very good at art class at all. And I learned that I had that skill later in life, but it always surprises my father especially. My mother, she talks about how I never liked playing with dolls. And when I was in high school, I went and babysitted once. And I came home and announced to my family, I am never going to take care of other people's children again. Yeah. God just had a sense of humor when he came. I can just picture God laughing at me saying, oh, I have plans for you, Hannah. So God really worked on my heart at a very young age. He had a lot of work to do. And, you know, when I was 6 years old, I remember as a child hearing all the truth of Scripture. I knew from my parents and my Sunday school teachers about God's love and his grace and how he has sent Christ to die on the cross for my sins. But to me, salvation was something that needed to be earned, that I needed to be good enough, to work hard enough. And even at 6 years old, I would try to be the best I could. I would try to always obey quickly. I would try to not fight with my brothers. I would try to always say the right things. But I would always fail. And I would feel that failure as a child, and I wouldn't be aware of my sin. And it just seemed like God was so far away. But God started stirring my heart. And he started stirring my heart through Sunday school teachers and through the Scriptures. And all of his truths clicked into place. And I remember praying one night to the Lord and just asking him to become Lord of my life, and that I wanted him to be my Savior, and thanking him for what he had done. And so I felt that truth go deep in my heart. And I also know that that was true, because I felt a change in my own life. You know, I would often feel like God was very far away, was very distant. But after I prayed to ask him to be Savior of my life, he became a close friend. He became somebody I walked with, someone I talked to every day, and I started to pray, and I started to share my heart with the Lord. I talked to him about my loneliness. I talked to him about my sin. I talked to him about my joys and my happiness, and he felt like someone that loved me very much, and I saw that change in my own life, even at a young age. And as I got a little bit older, I would always love coming to church. And I loved 7, 8 years old, coming to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It was always an exciting to see friends and Sunday school teachers. But one of the things I loved most about coming to church was a special event called a mission conference. I loved coming to mission conferences, even at the small church that we were at. I would love to hear missionaries talk about countries and the work that God was doing around this world. And I was fascinated with it. And I wanted to be a part and learn more. And so one evening, my dad and I were coming home from a mission conference, and we were talking about the missionaries we had heard speak, and we were talking about all the work that God was doing in this world. And my dad got really quiet for a minute, and he said, "Hannah, would God ever call you to be a missionary or to go into ministry or to teach his word?" And my response was, I started laughing. I laughed out loud because I thought it was the silliest thing I'd ever heard. And I said, "Dad, I am one of the shyest people I know." Okay, that is still very true to this day. God has made me a quiet, introverted person. I am usually not the one up on the stage. I'm usually the one on the walls that I love being with people, but it's scary being up here. And I just thought, you know, I can't ever do that. I can never do that. And I also said, "Dad, you know, I'm shy, but I can't even talk right." And what I was saying was that at the age when I was young, I had a pretty significant speech impediment. I could not say S's, R's, or Z's. And when you think about how many words out there with those letters, there was a lot of words I had trouble saying. And I thought, no one would ever listen to me, this shy girl with a speech impediment. All I could see was my own limitations. And my dad had a different perspective that night. He got very quiet for a second, and he said, "You know, Hannah, there was a man who thought that he didn't have much to offer. He thought that no one would listen to him, that he didn't have any gifts or abilities, but he gave his life completely to the Lord and said, 'Lord, do with it as you will.' And the Lord used that man in great ways. He used that man to share the gospel with thousands and thousands of people, and many people came to Christ through that ministry. You know, Hannah, that man's name was Billy Graham. You never know what the Lord will do with your life. Your job is to give it fully to him." And those words went deep in my heart. I was 7, 8 when I had that conversation with my dad. And looking back, that was the first conversation that would lead me here to this moment. You know, I just want to encourage you all, never underestimate the conversations that you have with children, especially spiritual conversations. You never know what the Lord will do with those conversations. When the Holy Spirit works, he plants seeds that will last years. And those seeds were in my own heart. Well, years would go by after that conversation, and I was in high school, and the dreaded question came, "What are you going to do with the rest of your life?" And at that time, I had no idea. I had no idea what would be that next step. And I remember praying and talking to the Lord about it and saying, "God, what am I to do? I don't know where you're leading." But I had one conviction that God put on my heart, was that I was to give 1 year of my life to studying his word. And that conviction went deep in my heart. And I started looking for opportunities to spend 1 year giving my life completely to the Lord and studying his will. And I had grown up hearing about these small Bible schools called the Torchbearer Bible Schools. They are little Bible schools all around the world, and they are just one-year programs where college-age students will come and study the Word for a year and really invest. And I had heard about one that was in England, and I thought, England, that sounds like a great place to go. And so I applied to the school, and I was super excited, thinking this is what my next step is going to be. And a couple weeks later, I was turned down. I got a letter in the mail saying, I'm sorry, but we have filled all of our spots. But we have an opening in our sister school in Germany. And I thought, Germany, I am not excited about that. In my mind, England seemed closer to home than Germany. Germany, they spoke a different language. Even though the school was in English, it still was just seemed so much farther away. But after talking to my parents and through some prayer, I did accept to go to the school in Germany called Bodenseehof. And so a couple months later, I got on a plane, having never seen this school before, knowing no other students going, and I went to Germany. And I can say that that year was one of the most pivotal years in my life. To tell you a little bit about the school in Germany at Bodenseehof, it is located in the Bavaria part of Germany, right where Austria, Switzerland, and Germany combined. And it is on the Bodensee Lake. From my dorm room, I could look over the lake and see the Swiss Alps. It was gorgeous. But what was even more special about that is that there was 100 students at that school from 20 different countries. And so to get the opportunity to be able to study God's word with believers from all over the world, it was such a privilege and just such a growing experience for me to learn from them and learn from our speakers and preachers that would come. Now, the teachers and preachers that would come, they were from other countries as well. They would travel, and they would give lectures during the morning and evening time, and we would get a break in the afternoon. And I remember one particular speaker that came, and he was from Austria. And he had this very thick German accent when he spoke. And I don't remember his name, but I remember what he said. He talked that evening about surrendering everything to Christ and what that truly looked like. He said, so often we hold too tightly on to the things of this world. And I always thought we hold on to sin and we hold on to bad things, and that's true. That's very true. But oftentimes we hold on too tightly to the good things, too. He said, we can hold on too tightly to our picture of what our future should look like, whether we are married, what our family should look like, to our finances, to what we our career going on, to our security. We hold so tightly to that. But as followers of Christ, we are to lay those things down and to open our hands and say, Lord, my life is yours. Do with it as you will. And those words went deep into my heart that night. I realized I love the Lord. I loved being a follower of Christ. But I was holding on too tightly for what I thought my picture of my future should look like. And so that evening, I went out, and I went to the shore of the Bodensee Lake after night under the stars, overlooking the Swiss Alps. And I opened up my hands to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I give you everything. I give you my family if I am to be married someday. I give you my future, wherever you call me. I give you my health. I give you my children's health. I give you it all. And I pray that you would lead and direct me and show me the path that you would have. And that prayer, I believe, is one of the prayers that would someday lead me to ministry. I wasn't there yet, but that giving everything to Christ. And those went deep in my heart. And through the years, God has reminded me of that prayer many times. I remember an afternoon when we were working through the diagnosis with Micah and his cancer, and it was scary, and we didn't know that things were going to be okay. And I remember walking and talking to the Lord. I often go prayer walking when I'm really praying. And I was prayer walking and talking to God about everything that we were facing. And I felt him just gently say, "Hannah, what is that in your hand? You're holding too tightly onto your children. You're holding too tightly onto what you think is best. I know what's best, even if it's hard." And I can say that that is not always an easy thing to do, to give everything to Christ, but it is always worth it. It is always worth it. Well, during my time at Bodenseehof, it was not just the studies that I enjoyed. It was also I got the opportunity to be on an outreach team. And so the outreach teams that we had would go into the German schools. And so in Germany, schools, especially high schoolers, every student has to take a religion course or a Bible course or some type of class like that in order to graduate. And so us from Bodenseehof, we would go into these schools and we would help the students practice their English, and we would talk about faith and we would talk about Jesus. And I remember one time going into the schools with my team, and one of the professors from Bodenseehof, he was talking to our team about the ministry, and we were praying, and he said, "You know, you realize that the teachers that teach these classes are not believers. The vast majority of them don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in salvation." And that just shocked me. That shocked me. How can you teach these things and not be a believer? And God used that truth to kind of help direct me. I started thinking about, you know, what if there was a true believer, teacher in every single one of these German classes? And every single one, if that was so, the whole country of Germany would be changed in one generation. And God used that in my life to say, "Hannah, I would love for you to learn how to teach my word." And so after Germany, I came back here to the States, to South Carolina, and I went to CIU, Columbia International University, right here in Columbia, and I enrolled in the Bible teaching program. And to tell you a little bit about the Bible teaching program, that is a special program that teaches how to teach Bible to children through high school. And so as you go through the program, you get courses on scripture, you get Romans courses, hermeneutics, all these deep courses, but you also get classroom management and psychology of learning, and so to learn how to be a teacher in a classroom. And I thought, this is exactly where the Lord wants me at this time. But what's funny was, at this point, children were not on my radar at all. I was still thinking, I am going to be teaching older kids. God has a different plan for me. I still was that tomboy little girl that was thought, I'm not going to take care of other people's kids. But God was still chuckling at me. And so during my time there, I studied for the first couple years. And I had the opportunity to hear about an overseas study abroad program in Israel. And I thought it would be amazing to get to spend a semester in Israel and actually get to study God's word where Jesus walked, and how amazing that would be. And so I signed up to go, and I would get to go for 4 months. And so after I signed up and I thought, this is the next step and I'll come back and finish my program at CIU, it was a time in our history when Israel was on the news almost every other day with some terrorist attack. There was a big conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis as it kind of flares up and down. It was one of those heightened times. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can go. And it was up to 2 weeks before I was scheduled to fly out. I thought, you know, I don't know if this is what is right. And I was praying about it and talking to people around me to get advice. And as I prayed about it, one truth kind of went deep in my heart. And it was that truth that I am safest in the center of God's will. Whether that is here in Columbia, if that is where he's called me, or if it's overseas in the middle of a country far away, I am the safest as long as I'm in the will of God. And I prayed, I thought, what is God's will in this situation? And I was very convicted that he was calling me to go to Israel. And so I got on a plane again, never seen this school before, having never been to Israel. And I flew to Tel Aviv and then went on to cross to Jerusalem. And so I spent 4 months there studying outside the old city walls of Jerusalem and getting to go to travel around the country and spending time just studying biblical geography. And I loved it. I loved the studies. But one of the things I loved most was the outreach. It was something I was not expecting. And so, again, I joined the outreach team. And so there was a team that would go and work with gypsy kids that were inside the old city walls of Jerusalem in the Muslim quarter. These gypsy kids were the outcasts of society. They were often would run away from school because they were so bullied. And so there was a permanent community there, and a group from us from what we call JUC, the university there, would go over, and we would love on these kids. We would spend time playing with them and doing crafts with them and just loving on them. And none of these kids spoke English. And so for 4 months, I went every week to spend time with these kids and just played. And as my time in Israel got closer to the end, God just put on my heart, Hannah, these kids don't know about me. And I thought, how can I leave Israel and never tell these kids about Jesus? But it seemed scary. I was still that shy, introverted girl. But I felt God really put that on my heart. And so I went to the leader of the gypsy community, which was a lady, and asked permission to get to share with these children. And she said yes. And so one evening, we had a very small room, and we piled 30 gypsy kids in there, and I'm talking small. They were on top of each other. And I was in front of them with some little pictures that I've drawn with a cross and talking about sin and salvation. And through a translator, I shared the gospel with these gypsy kids. And that was my very first time ever telling kids about Jesus. Was to these kids. And it meant a lot to me. It really, God just used that and said, you know, I have something planned for you. And I love that opportunity that the Lord gave me. But another opportunity he gave me in Israel was working with another group of children. Again, I wasn't expecting that. But one of my friends, Amanda, she was working with a group of Palestinian kids at a Christian school, and she had said they needed some more help and in these classes. And so I went and helped, and there these Palestinian kids, they were amazing. They spoke 3 different languages, and I got the opportunity to go every week and work with them. And I remember one time I was doing a lesson on how to take good care of your teeth. And, you know, simple lesson. And so I was talking about how you need to brush your teeth and eat healthy food. Well, one of the boys raised his hand, and he said, Miss, how can we take care of our teeth and eat healthy food? It is Ramadan. We're not allowed to eat during the day. And I realized how lost he was, and my heart broke. And I prayed for that little boy, Muhammad, for years. And, God just used me that there are children that need to know the truth about me. And so God used all those opportunities in Israel. So when I came back here to Columbia, South Carolina, it was time to finish my Bible teaching program. And I was super excited to finish up. And one of the things that we did to finish up our program was we would do student teaching. And we had to go into a school. We would be assigned a Bible class where we would go and teach for several months. And we could be placed anywhere from kindergarten all the way to high school. And I had no idea where I'd be placed. And as I went in, my professor, Dr. Anita Cooper, she has a lot of wisdom, and she said, "Hannah, I have the perfect placement for you. I'm so excited. I have placed you in a public school to teach the Bible to kindergarten through fifth grade." And I was honestly disappointed. I still had it in my head, like, kids are great, and there's ministry to be done, but I still need to be with the older kids. And she said, "No, this is the perfect place for you." And so I knew I was going to give it my all. And I learned about that placement, that I would be teaching at actually three different public schools near Woodleaf, North Carolina. And I would be a traveling Bible teacher. I would go from teaching a kindergarten class to a fifth grade class to a second grade class, first grade class, all day long. And I would teach 48 classes a week. And what got even better is that I would teach the same lesson 48 times. And I thought, goodness, this is hard. But I went in and I poured my heart into it. And I was teaching on the kings of Judah. And I was teaching these children. And I just fell in love with teaching kids in North Carolina. Every day, getting the opportunity to share the gospel and share God's truth with these children just touched my heart. And as I was driving back from North Carolina, I thought, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. This is my calling. I may not ever get paid to do this. I may not get in any school. It may be someplace else. But I am going to teach children the rest of my life. And I knew that was my life calling. And I was super excited to graduate. It was 2 weeks before graduation. And Dr. Cooper called me into her office to do my final evaluation. And I thought, I know how this is going to go. I did a good job. I know how this is going to go. And the evaluation went off at the beginning how I thought. She said, "Hannah, you know, I really appreciate how the Lord has used you, and you have really poured your heart and soul into teaching God's word, and you've done a great job teaching, you know, but I've started to notice some inconsistencies in the way you speak, in the way you write, and even you get words mixed up, you have a hard time remembering things. You know, I am pretty confident that you have a learning disability. And I think that if you actually went into a truly school academic setting, you would struggle. You would have a hard time keeping up." I was blindsided. I was 2 weeks before graduation. I thought, had I missed God's calling? Had I got it all wrong? I went home and I cried the entire weekend, and thought, "Lord, how can this be? What are you doing?" And Monday morning came, and I started praying and talking to the Lord, and I felt Him just quietly say in my heart, "Hannah, has anything really changed?" And I examined my heart and I said, "No. I still feel your heart to teach children your word. I still want the opportunity to do this, and I know that you are big enough for this." And so I shocked everyone, my parents and my professors. That week, I signed up to get tested for a learning disability because I thought, if I have this, I want to know about it, and I want to know how I can better myself. And so after getting tested, I found out that I had dyslexia and a low working short-term memory. So that means that I often will get different things confused or have a hard time reading out loud, or, you know, just things are harder. And I thought, I still want to teach God's word. And so what I did is I went and got therapy for dyslexia and started working through that. But I didn't want to lose any momentum. I kept wanting to study God's word. So at the same time I was doing that, I also signed up for seminary classes. I wanted to continue on with a master's in Bible. And so I was doing dyslexia therapy and master's in Bible at the same time. And so as this has happened, I'm starting the school year, and I am praying, Lord, I really want the opportunity to teach some kids. I really want to use the skills that you've given. And my roommate at the time, her name was April, came home and said, Hannah, I just had this great talk with Ellen Turner at First Presbyterian Church. She has asked to have some help with this class called Sunday Night Kids Club. And I think they could probably use some more help. Maybe you can call and ask her if you can help too. And I thought, this is wonderful. At the time, because I'd been traveling and moving around, I wasn't invested in any church just because of all the travels. And so I called Ellen up and got the opportunity to teach Sunday Night's Kids Club. And that was over 23 years ago that I started teaching here. And years later, I would get the opportunity to come on as the assistant director of children's ministry under Ellen, and she taught me everything I know about children's ministry. And then later on, I got the opportunity to become the director of children's ministry here. And I thought, the Lord has really opened up these doors for me. And one day, I got a call from my professor, Dr. Anita Cooper. She called me up and asked to have coffee with me, and this was about 8-9 years ago, and I thought she just wanted to catch up, and so I was excited to have coffee, and as we sat down, she said, you know, Hannah, I am looking for someone to partner to teach the next group of Bible teachers, to teach the same program that I had gone through. Would you consider becoming and being an adjunct professor and partner with me to teach others how to teach kids Bible? And honestly, at first, I said no, because I didn't feel qualified. I still felt all of my limitations, and all I thought, there's more qualified people than me. And my husband, Chris, and my parents came and said, Hannah, we really think this is what you should be doing. We will help fill the gaps at home so that you have time to invest in these student teachers. And so so I went on and became an adjunct professor at Columbia National University, and I train student teachers to teach kids Bible in schools. And so I start off every semester, the first day of class, I tell them my story. I tell them how God took a very shy, introverted girl with a speech impediment and dyslexia and used her to become a children's ministry director and then to be their professor. And I often see sometimes that we often view these things in our lives, these weaknesses, as obstacles, but God uses them as opportunities to show His glory and His power. And it's amazing to get to be a part of that, of God's plan. And I love how it says in 2 Corinthians that His power is perfect in our weakness. You know, my favorite verse in Scripture is in Habakkuk, and I learned it in the NIV as a child, that it says, Habakkuk 3:19, and it says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And I find that the Lord really is my strength for the path that he has called me to walk on. And you may be feeling that you have weaknesses and that you have obstacles in yours. And I just want to encourage you, God gave you both your strengths, but he also gave you your weaknesses. He made you and designed you the way that you are, and he uses all of it, just like he's used all of my weaknesses as well. So we are to trust him and give our hands open to him and say, Lord, I give you my life. Use it as you will. So thank you for letting me share tonight. Let me just close in prayer. Okay. Father God, how amazing you are. Thank you that you designed each one of us in this room. You've called us with a purpose and a plan, and you call us out to have faith and to depend on you each and every day. I pray that you would be our strength, to be our guide as we walk this world. Thank you for the love that you pour on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, truly, Hannah, thank you so much for tonight and for all that you do for us. You know, it made me, when Hannah was talking, it made me think of somebody else in the Bible, and I wonder if some of you maybe thought the same of Moses when he said, whoa, I mean, it's something like, I'm slow of tongue and speech. And he just felt so ill-qualified. And I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of what God is calling us to because we say, I don't know how to do that. I can't tell you how many times Lilia and I look at each other and it's like, I can't do that. And the other one of us has to say, yes, you can. You can do it. And you look at Moses and in that particular instance, God provided Aaron for him. And so when God asks us to do something, he surely will equip us as well. And so if you feel, you know, I want to encourage a couple things. One, if you sense God calling you to himself, perhaps you've never accepted Christ before, answer that call. There's a hymn that says, if you tarry or wait until you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, but sinners Jesus came to call. And so if you find yourself tonight stuck in your sin, I pray that you hear Jesus' call because he will rescue you. And if you are a believer here tonight and you sense a call to serve, please do get in touch with the church staff or with, one of our local missions organizations. Don't go home and say, they don't want me. And in fact, we have actually given you a vehicle tonight. You'll see on your table, if you're interested in particularly volunteering with our children's ministry, you can just take your camera on your phone and scan the QR code on your table. So don't let, I taught on Psalm 1 recently, and you might remember that that's the psalm that says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And y'all, wicked, we can be, that can be our own counsel. That can be us listening to the lies that sometimes swirl around in our own head. And those are often the ones that say, they don't want you to help. You aren't the right person. You're not qualified. So don't listen to that. Read God's word. Find your confidence there and bear fruit. Okay. I am going to pray to close this, and I know we're a few minutes over time, but I do want to say a few things. One, there are flowers on your tables. I would like for the person who has had the most recent birthday at your table to take those home. And it could be, like, if your birthday is in 2 days, that's great. Like, just whoever's is the closest to today, so y'all have to compare notes. So those are the flowers. Second, I am sure that I'm not the only one who's sort of excited about fall when it's really hot outside, okay? And with that makes us think about all the things that are coming up. So August 9th, We have registration opening for both men's and women's Foundry. That is our one-on-one discipleship program. We want both mentors, women who are ready to pour into another woman, and mentees, women who say, man, I would love to learn and grow, but I don't really know how. Or I just want the support of a woman who's a little farther along in the faith. So registration will open for all of that. Registration will open for Bible studies. We're going to be studying the book of Joshua this fall. So that's all August 9th. August 16th is Rally Sunday, so you'll go back to your regular Sunday school classes that day. And then, hold on, I'm like, don't want to miss anything. And then we will be back here in this room on August 25th, where we will hear from Sonia Stallings, who is here tonight, about the faithfulness of the Lord to her and his work in her life. So be on the lookout. If you're not seeing communication from us, reach out, because we want you to know about what's going on. Let me pray to close this. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the faithfulness that you've had to this church for so many years, more than two centuries. And we pray that you would bring more than two centuries more here. Would you protect her? Would you keep her? Would you allow us to faithfully worship you here? We thank you for Hannah Lampman, for the many ways that you worked in her life to bring her to this place. And we pray even now for our own children, that we would let go of them and give them, like Hannah gave Samuel to you, that we would give them to you for your service. May we encourage them to give you their lives. And Father, may we also give you our lives. May we submit our expectations, our hopes, and our dreams to your will, knowing that your ways are so much higher than our ways. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.